If you were in a growth group last week, you would have read all of Colossians in one sitting with your group. And we actually, what we did was we played all of Colossians on a Bible app that I have on my smartphone. And then we stopped after each chapter and we asked ourselves, okay, what's the main theme in this chapter? And it was so exciting. It was like eating at this buffet full of all your favorite foods. And I think we all left our growth group feeling satisfied in Jesus, satisfied in what he has for us, and satisfied and contented with this small community that Jesus gave us to grow in. There's so much good stuff in Colossians. The passage that we're going to look at today is key. And this is Paul's introduction to the rest of the book. And so we're going to read it and we're going to pay careful attention to this first passage of a ripple effect that happens when we live in the confident hope that Jesus gives us. So pay attention to this ripple effect. So if you have your Bibles here, you can turn to Colossians and chapter 1. So Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. We always pray for you and give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you heard the truth of the good news. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the first day you heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. Okay, that's it. We're going to circle back now to the beginning, and we're going to walk our way through it. So Paul says that he always prays for the church in Colossae, and he gives thanks to God for them. Now, the obvious question when we read that should be, well, what is Paul thankful for? Remember, Paul likely didn't know personally the members of the Colossian church. Epaphras had initially planted the church, and likely he would have passed on information to Paul about how the church was doing. And so here, Paul says that he and Timothy have heard of their faith in Jesus and their love for people, which sprung from the confident hope that they had in heaven. So there's a mouthful of stuff there, but it's very important that we understand this, because there's a ripple effect that happens on a couple different levels when you trust that Jesus has forgiven you. God forgives you. But God forgives you not based on anything you did to earn his favor. He forgives you solely based on the fact that he sent his only son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins, so that you can have a part in his kingdom work right now, and so that you can spend eternity with him in heaven. The more you come to believe this at a heart level, the more confidence you will have, and then the more others will be impacted by your life. So the power of Jesus in you will multiply your love. The more confidence you have in him, the more he will multiply his love in you. Now, if you're actively following Jesus, you will have seen this, and you will see this often in your life. What God wants to do is he wants to build your faith in Jesus so that it becomes so strong that your life is going to influence those around you. Now, most of us have experienced this at some level. How many of you have been through a particularly hard time in your life where you just wondered, how is God going to come through for me this time? And you wondered, is it actually going to happen? Yeah, almost all of us, right? We've all experienced something like that. Most of us have. Will God come through for me in this difficult time? Our faith muscles grow when we purposely persevere through difficult circumstances. That's what James said, Jesus' younger brother. So James 1, 2 to 4. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Now, why would we consider it an opportunity for great joy? Well, he goes on, he says, "This is why. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." And so every time we experience a trial in our lives, we have some options. We always have options. We can get angry, we can get bitter, we can get hard, or we can get despondent and give up, or conversely, we can look up, we can surrender to Jesus and learn from him, just like he said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Remember, he said, if you're tired, if you're weary, if you're heavy burdened, what did he say? He said, take his yoke upon you, for his burden is light, his burden is easy. And he said, learn from him because he is gentle and humble in heart. And so we have a chance. Every time we face difficulties, we have a chance to grow. Now, the psalmist in Psalm 104, verse 5 said, look to the Lord and his strength always. Seek his face always. When you're having a good time, when you're having hard times, always seek the Lord. So when we face difficulties in our lives, Jesus said, see them as opportunities to grow and build our face muscle so that next time we face a similar obstacle, we're going to face it with more confidence in the Lord, knowing that he's big enough. Now, here's the deal. Here's the thing that we do not want to know. Our faith will not grow without obstacles and challenges. We wish it wasn't the case, but it's true. Our faith will not grow without obstacles and challenges in our lives. We need them in order to grow. We will not grow, we will not mature if we don't face these well. And if we avoid difficulties, if we see a difficulty coming our way and we run the other way, then we've just lost a chance of growing in our faith. And that means we need to be okay with failure, because we aren't always going to get this right. Now, how many of you enjoy failing? Put up your hand. How many of you enjoy failing? No, nobody's putting up their hand. None of us enjoy this. How many of you have watched a movie where you heard the phrase, failure is not an option? Right? We've all seen movies like that, right? There's a bunch of guys with the testosterone and failure is not an option. Well, I've got news for you. Not only is failure an option, but it's actually guaranteed if you're growing. Failure is guaranteed if you're going. We have to learn to be okay with failure in ourselves and with others. We need to know that the learning curve to become like Jesus is very steep. Did you know that? Because he is perfect. He is perfectly holy, and we aren't quite there yet. And so the learning curve is steep. So what God wants to do is he wants to grow us continually with his power. The good news is that we have the power of Jesus resident in us to chip away at us. But we won't grow if we don't chance failure. So if you aren't failing sometimes, then you need to ask yourself if you're doing things that are always comfortable for you. If you're always comfortable, you're going to sort of hinder your growth. So learn to be okay with failing. Learn to be okay with others helping you see your blind spots as well, because we all have them. It's a part of how we learn. It's a part of how we grow. And so there's this ripple effect in our faith when we grow in our confidence of Jesus. That's on this vertical level between us and God. We grow in our confidence that Jesus is big enough for the storm that we're going to face so that we can face the next one with more confidence. And then our faith grows so we can face down these giants with Jesus. In one of my quiet times this last week, I read from the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 6, where Jesus walked on water out to his disciples who were struggling in the middle of the lake in a storm. They were fighting, rowing against the winds and the waves of the storm. And just prior to this, Jesus fed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he used that opportunity to build the faith of his disciples. So After feeding these 5,000 people, Jesus sent everybody away, and he insisted that his disciples go across the lake in the boat to a small fishing town called Bethsaida at the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Well, he went up into the hills, and he prayed by himself. In the middle of the night, Jesus sees that his disciples are struggling against the wind and the waves. And here's what Jesus, what Mark says about this situation. Mark chapter 6, and starting in verse 48. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. He intended to go past them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. Now, it's kind of strange here. The end of verse 48 says he intended to go past them. I have no idea why Jesus would intend to go past them. It sort of jumps out at me when I read that. He sees they're in trouble. He decides to take a walk on the lake across to Bethsaida, and it says he intended to go past them. Now, we don't know really why he intended to go past them, but what I do believe is that he saw another grow up, another learning opportunity for his disciples. And so, verse 50, they were all terrified when they saw him, but Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. Now, there's a phrase that jumps out at me here, aside from the fact that Jesus walked on water and that he intended to go past them. The other phrase that jumps out at me is the very last verse where it says they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. So they had an opportunity when they experienced Jesus doing this miracle to grow in their faith, and it seems like they missed it. Jesus gave them this very visceral learning opportunity, and he invited them, he included them in this miracle of feeding 5,000, it was actually 5,000 men, so there were several thousand people there that Jesus fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and they experienced that, and you would think that after experiencing that, they would think, wow, we could do anything now. There's nothing we have to fear. But somehow they missed that. And so it takes time to grow that kind of faith. And so Jesus gives them another learning opportunity to undergird this lesson that they just learned from the loaves and the fishes. And so there's faith built upon faith. They didn't quite get it from the feeding of the 5,000. And so right away, that very same day, that night, he undergirds that lesson with this saving them in the storm. So there's this ripple effect that takes place in our faith with Jesus when we trust him. Each time that Jesus comes through for us, we learn in a deeper way that he is trustworthy and that our faith is built. How many of you have experienced that? And then what happens? When we experience Jesus coming through, he gives us joy and peace, doesn't he? We've all experienced that. So alongside this ripple effect on the vertical, our vertical relationship with Jesus, there's also a ripple effect that happens on the horizontal level when people see us walking with Jesus. They see the effect of our lives walking with Jesus and how we're growing in our faith. And so we're going to read this passage again, starting in verse 6 of Colossians 1, and watch how that happens here. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, the same good news that came to you is going out all over the world, and it is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. You see what's happening here? This is such a beautiful story. Epaphras brought the good news to the Colossians, and it spread from there all over the world. It was bearing good fruit, bearing the fruit of the Spirit in the lives of those followers of Jesus. The Holy Spirit produced love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in them. And that spread like wildfire. It's a great story. And I see that happening here at CRBC continually. One of the things we do every week at staff meeting is we tell stories about what God is doing at CRBC. What did God do this last week at CRBC through the ministries here, through the people at CRBC? And it's so exciting. I can't tell you some of those stories because some people would be mad at me because we don't have their permission, and I've got enough people mad at me, and so I'm going to stick with people that I have permission to tell their stories to. So I have a story here from several years ago, and I've asked these people permission to tell this story this morning. When Ruthie and I first moved from Calgary to the coast, we were in a church in Vancouver where I was the pastor of young adults and youth. And we had the privilege of walking with many young people in their faith journey. And one man, young man, was named Shunsuke, and he was on a working holiday visa from Japan. And he came to church periodically, and he always came to our young adults meetings and events. And we had lots of conversations about Jesus. Well, one day, I drove Shun home from one of our events, and we sat in the driveway of the home where he was doing a homestay, and we talked about Jesus for quite a while. And I asked him, I said, Shun, what's holding you back from trusting Jesus with your life? And he said, well, I want to believe, I really want to believe, but there are so many questions I have that are unanswered. And so we talked about that a little more, about the obstacles to him believing. And then I said, you know, Shun, you're likely never going to have all your questions answered, because God is infinite and you are finite, and there is so much mystery in God. There's so much mystery in faith. And so you're likely never going to have all your questions answered. And so you may just need to take a step of faith and trust Jesus. And Shun was blown away by this, because he thought he had to have all his I's dotted and all his T's crossed and all of his questions answered. And he was floored by this. And so we prayed together right there, and he received Jesus in the driveway of this home, in his homestay. Well, he went back to Japan a few months later after his visa had run out, and I probably have some of the dates wrong, but I think that was about 2004 or so. Several years later, Shun contacted me, and he told me that his sister Mizuki was going to be moving to the Vancouver area on a working holiday visa. And he told her to look up Ruthie and me at the church where I was. I took a position at Richmond Baptist Church at that time as lead pastor, and he said, look them up. And so she arrived one Sunday in about 2010. She wasn't a follower of Jesus, but we invited her to a class that Ruthie and I put on for those who were seeking Jesus, those who had questions about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And she came every time faithfully, and she asked her questions, and very good and insightful questions. And she eventually came to faith in Jesus. And she has the most vibrant faith of anybody I have ever seen. She is alive in Jesus. When you are with Mizuki, you experience the presence of Jesus. Well, meanwhile, back in Japan, Shun met his bride, a young, brand new follower of Jesus. And they got involved in a church, and they both got baptized there. And he and his wife Hiroko came and visited us here in Camel River a couple years ago. They sat right where Ruthie and two of our other friends are sitting there right now. And so some of you may remember them. But the story doesn't end there, because their little brother Keisuke received Christ just about a year ago or so. Now, through the testimony of Mizuki and Shun, they saw Jesus in Shunsuke and in Mizuki. And he said, I need that. I need that. And I was moved to tears when Shun sent me a video of his little brother, Kay, being baptized in a bathtub. You got to do what you got to do in Japan. They had a bathtub. And it was such a beautiful story. And so now they say it's just their mother and father who don't know Jesus. And they're praying for their salvation as well. That's the power of the gospel. You know, I've talked to people lately here who have come to the church recently, and I've heard some say, I want what you have, speaking of you. You sitting here in the pews at CRBC, I want what you have, because they see Jesus in you. That's beautiful. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus. There is a ripple effect that happens when we trust Jesus and allow him to work through us. We have so many stories like that at CRBC. There are so many stories just in our growth group alone of stories of how Jesus is producing fruit in the lives of the people in our growth group, producing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and others see that fruit, and they want some of it. After the service, we're going to give you distribute some of our AGM reports, and each of the staff has written a report, and some of the other ministries written reports in this document, and the stories of what God is doing in their ministries. And then on the 28th at our AGM, we're going to celebrate these together. Because there is a ripple effect that's happening in your lives as you walk with Jesus. God is doing something here, and it's so exciting. So I'm going to read this passage again and just pay attention again to this ripple effect. So Colossians chapter 1 and starting in verse 3. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the first day you heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. That is what I see happening at CRBC. And we're going to celebrate that at our AGM on the 28th. So I'm hoping that you all come to that. I can see it so clearly. Jesus is changing us. He's transforming us as individuals, and consequently, he's transforming our church into a people who welcome those who may not think and act and believe the way we do. But that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't just hang around people who were like him. He didn't just hang around people who acted like him. He didn't just hang around people who believed everything he did. He hung around people who were very different than he was, and they loved being with him. Now, the typical way the churches have been practiced in the past was that before someone could belong, they needed to believe the same way we did. And then we made them more and more like us. And when we cleaned them up enough, then we would welcome them to belong. I'm not talking about church membership here. I'm talking about creating a culture where we help people have a sense of belonging. You can be a part of what God is doing here. Now think about how Jesus did things. He had open arms. He welcomed people first. They belonged to his group. They might not have been exactly like him, but they came to believe in him as they watched and saw him and experienced that he really is who he says he is. And as they followed Jesus, they became like him, and then they joined him on his mission. And so this is what I see happening at CRBC. We see it over and over again. And here's how it should look. So We open our arms, we welcome everybody. Everybody is welcome at CRBC. You know, I think one of the biggest needs in human beings, in our hearts, is our need to belong somewhere. We need that sense of belonging. And so what we need to do at CRBC is create that place where people have that sense of belonging because they're here. So we open our arms, and then we walk with them. We walk with them on their faith journey. They walk with us on our faith journey. And as we walk with them, we introduce them to Jesus. They meet Jesus. They believe in him then, and then their faith grows. And as their faith grows, they become like him, more and more like Jesus. And then as we together become more and more like Jesus, there's this ripple effect that takes place. The gospel of Jesus produces fruit in us, and then it spreads contagiously out around the world around us. That's what we've been called to. And then what God wants to do through us is to bless the world. That was his plan ever since the beginning. Remember, he gave that call to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 to bless all the nations, to gather a people for himself who would be all about blessing the nations. That's what God's doing here. So CRBC is here in Campbell River to bless the nations. That's why we're here. That's been God's plan. Day by day, we walk together. He chips away at our rough edges. He makes us more and more like Jesus, transforms us, produces the fruit of the Spirit in us, so that when we interact with people, they would see Jesus in us. Every single interaction we have with someone is important. Every conversation we have needs to be seen as a conversation that could change the direction of somebody's life. You know, Jesus said that we're going to have to take account for every stray word that comes out of our mouths. So every conversation we have has the possibility of changing the direction of someone's lives. So let's live our lives intentionally, learning from Jesus how to love those around us so that they would see Jesus in us and join us on his mission to change the world.